Have you or do you know anyone that's had a medical implant of some kind? Maybe a life-saving pacemaker or a hip replacement or even teeth or breast implants? Has it saved your life or perhaps improved its quality? Or maybe this implant gives you more confidence? Well, in the United States, a company owned by Twitter boss Elon Musk has received approval from the US Food and Drugs Administration, or the FDA, for the study of brain implants in humans. The tech billionaire claims that the device will be able to correct a number of debilitating conditions and disabilities.
The first two applications we're going to aim for in humans are restoring vision. And I think this is like notable in that even if someone has never had vision ever, like they were born blind, we believe we can still restore vision.
That's Elon Musk talking about his bold ambitions for his company, Neuralink. There is, however, widespread concern among many in the medical world around this technology. Dr. Ryan Merkley is the Director of Research Advocacy for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicines, and he shares those concerns. Ryan, welcome to Drive.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Ryan, can you just firstly explain what these brain implants are and how they work?
Yeah, so these are in a class called brain-computer interfaces. And there's a huge range of what these devices can be and what they are. They can be wearable devices that are already available that can transmit neuronal signals from the brain to a robotic arm, to a wheelchair. They can sometimes transmit thought and then create speech or create lettering on a computer screen. But what we're talking about with Neuralink and Elon Musk's new brain-computer interface is the idea that we would surgically open the skull, insert a device into the brain with hundreds or perhaps thousands of tiny threads that would then allow Neuralink to treat that patient's disorder or disease. Now, that's where things get really gray, because we have no idea what Neuralink has received approval to start testing. We don't know if it's a specific ailment like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, whether it's regaining motor function, or whether it's something else. So there are still a lot of big questions out there about what Neuralink hopes to do with its device. All we know is over the years, Elon Musk has certainly promised a lot.
Mm. So the FDA hasn't given any clarity around that, or is that just something that Neuralink would know?
Only Neuralink would know that. That's between Neuralink and the FDA. Unfortunately, here in the United States, even though it seems like Neuralink is about to start human clinical trials, the public is still in the dark as to what they've gotten approval to test. Mm-hmm. Because with FDA approval, you have to specifically propose something. It can't just be, we're going to try out a device, we're going to put it in someone's brain and then try everything under the sun and see what works. Mm. And I think that was one of the reasons why their approval took so long and why they were initially rejected, because the company over the years has promised so much, like I mentioned. And we right now don't know what these human clinical trials are going to entail. We are trying to get public records, but quite often these records are never made public until a device actually makes it to market.
Okay. Well, I've read that Elon Musk envisions both disabled and healthy individuals getting surgical implants to cure a range of different conditions. You mentioned some before, but what kind of conditions is he referring to?
So he has talked specifically about everything from tinnitus to Parkinson's to paraplegia and several other disorders and diseases in between. Now, it's hard to believe that his device will come close to accomplishing any of those goals. But you did bring up something that I think the public should be very concerned about, and that is the original intent of this company. His stated public goal from the start has been to address this thing he calls and many others call the AI symbiosis problem. This concern that, in basic terms, is, well, computers will get so smart that eventually they will overtake us. And if we don't keep up with them by merging our brains with them, then we will be taken over and we won't be able to compete. Mm. So Elon Musk is seeking a world in which the average person has their brain attached or melded, whatever the phrase you want to use is, to computers. And of course, he is also responsible, as we speak, for further quickening the pace of AI development. So on one hand, he talks about the fears of AI. On the other, he is only feeding this supposed beast. And that is the true original goal of Neuralink. All of these other things, the diseases, the disorders, the regaining of motor function, Those are things he has mentioned since then. But his original goal, I think everybody needs to keep in mind. Now, I'll say one more thing about the idea of putting this device in a healthy patient's brain. It is so hard to imagine the U.S. regulatory agency, FDA, or any other government's agency granting this company the permission to put something so invasive in the brain of an otherwise healthy patient. That is so far flung. I don't think we'll see it in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And the other concerns, I've read about the lithium battery inside these devices.
Yeah, one of the things that we learned in great grisly detail through a public records lawsuit here in the United States was that for years they were conducting, Neuralink was conducting these really invasive, almost always deadly experiments on rhesus macaques, monkeys. Mm. And several occasions, not only did these monkeys suffer from chronic infections, from seizures, from partial paralysis, some of them vomited so much that they had open sores in their esophagus. Mm. They had swelling and bleeding in their brains. But they also found something very strange and very concerning to anybody who wants one of these devices in their head. They could feel to the touch how warm the battery was through the skull and through the skin of these monkeys' heads. And that was a major concern, supposedly, by the FDA. And perhaps one of the reasons FDA originally rejected Neuralink's application, that the safety of the battery itself, of the device itself. And we have to remember that they're going to cut a hole, and this is what they've been doing in pigs and sheep and monkeys. They cut a hole in the skull, and they put these hundreds or thousands of tiny little threads or electrodes into the brain, and then they seal it back up. And imagine you're a patient, and one day that device malfunctions or it needs the battery to be replaced. Mm. You've got to then surgically open the skull again just to do all of that.
Mm. So how do you jump from that to FDA approval then? Surely it's come a long way. And, you know, we have implants in our bodies. You know, I think of a pacemaker that often needs a battery replaced, etc.
That's a big troubling question because we have not seen public records. We've only seen whistleblower reports from within the company over the last year and a half or two. But those whistleblower reports over the last couple of years talk about botched experiments in which they put the wrong size device in the spine of pigs, and then they had to kill those pigs and repeat the whole thing again with sheep. They put the wrong device in the wrong part of the animal's anatomy and had to kill those animals and redo it. So these are relatively recent reports, and it's one of the reasons we made the FDA aware of all of this back in December of last year. We wrote them a long letter asking them to investigate this and urging them to actually essentially ban Neuralink from getting approval. Now, we don't know what happened within the agency, but it's surprising to us that at this point, everything we know about the last few years of animal experiments, that the agency has given them approval to move forward. Now, and again, we don't know if that approval is contingent upon something. We don't know if it's a very narrow type of approval, like you can use three clinical patients. We don't know how big, how sweeping it is, or how specific it is, but it is still troubling. And if I were a patient considering being in one of these clinical trials, or if I was a family member of one of these patients, I'd be very concerned.
Mm-hmm. If you've just tuned in, Dr. Ryan Merkley is talking about Elon Musk's company Neuralink reportedly getting FDA approval for the study of brain implants in humans here on RN Drive. Ryan, just when might these trials begin and who might participate?
I can't say who might participate, again, because I don't know what type of ailment or disease or disorder they are trying to treat with these clinical trials. But my guess is that they would probably begin sometime before the end of this year. And I say that in part because of the normal timeframe once you obtain FDA approval for clinical trials, but also because Neuralink is so eager to move things forward really quickly. And that's something we've heard from several employees. And I think one of the reasons, or very clearly one of the reasons, they've had so many botched animal experiments because they are moving quite often too fast. But I did want to really focus on one thing that I think is really important for your listeners to remember, which is there are brain-computer interfaces that require you implant something into the skull or other parts of the body. But there are also non-invasive brain-computer interfaces becoming smarter and smarter.
And you've actually urged Elon Musk and Neuralink to shift to these. I mean, have you contacted them directly and received any sort of response regarding non-invasive brain-computer interfaces?
It's a point we've been making since we first started advocating for this company to change its ways more than 2 years ago. But we have not heard anything back from Neuralink, and we are no different than so many reporters at major news outlets who try to contact the company. They don't hear anything. So unfortunately, it does seem like Neuralink is heeding that. But while they're so fixated on this invasive, potentially very dangerous method, there are scientists and researchers all over the world who are making progress for patients as we speak, using non-invasive methods that are getting better and better, in part because of AI and because of machine learning. And so we have continued to make this argument that Neuralink needs to use its hundreds of millions of dollars and shift its focus to a non-invasive method, one that won't endanger patients.
So are you flatly against invasive implants in the brain? Are they just too dangerous?
I think we can say that now because of all of the documentation and reports we've seen from within Neuralink. There are even reports that they've used up to 1,500 animals in-house in studies. And other companies, other brain-computer interface companies who were asked about this by reporters have been shocked at the sheer number of animals. And again, it's in part because they are trying something incredibly invasive and they're trying something very quickly. So they're doing this, as I mentioned, at a pace that is probably irresponsible, quite frankly. And so when it comes to Neuralink, we are specifically saying there's enough documentation here to not trust this company to open up your skull and put something in there.
You mentioned AI symbiosis earlier. I mean, these implants are designed to decode brain activity to communicate with computers, as we spoke of. What are the dangers in receiving this information? How could this information be used for good and for harm?
There's obviously a lot of different types of information you can obtain from the brain. You know, we're not at this point, we're nowhere near talking about one of these devices being able to, let's say, read your thoughts or understand your desires. But there are certain things that these devices are already picking up on, whether they're invasive or non-invasive, meaning, you know, they're able to decode signals that allow you to understand motor function or speech. But a deeper level of that may come at some point. And obviously, Elon Musk is interested in getting to that point. But I think from an ethical standpoint, on a larger scale, you raise a really important question. You know, what kind of information are these private for-profit companies that are quite often kind of operating, you know, behind closed doors at their own private facilities? What are we going to be giving them if we give them access to our brains? What are they going to be using it for? And, you know, we have a company run by somebody who is also running a social media forum, Twitter. Is he trying to meld the two? Is he trying to meld these with Tesla? He's talked sort of jokingly about someday somebody being able to open up a Tesla car door with one of these implants. That's an incredibly irresponsible goal for a company that's making a medical device. But you know, it just goes to show you that it's hard to know what direction this will all take. And it's why we need greater regulation and greater public scrutiny of these kinds of companies.
Dr. Ryan Merkley, it's been fabulous speaking with you. Thanks for your time.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Merkley is the Director of Research Advocacy for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine based in Washington, D.C.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.